A reading from the Gospel according to John. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about the death of their brother Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. It's just over a week since we heard the other gospel passage about Martha. This is her feast day. The passage we heard a couple of Sundays ago was the one in Luke's gospel when Jesus seems to be reproaching her for being troubled and distracted by all her tasks as his hostess, whereas her sister Mary had chosen the better part, just sitting beside him and listening to him. And there's a wonderfully subversive sermon by Meister Eckhart where he argues that when Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," he wasn't disappointed in her at all. He wasn't saying, "Martha, Martha," but was actually stressing his approval. "Martha, Martha," more or less saying, "Atta girl, Martha. You've realized that we can't just pick the best bits out of our life of faith the way Mary's doing." It's terrific stuff. But still, to be fair, Martha's traditionally been held up as an example of how not to be a really first-class believer. Well, whether you accept Eckhart's angle on this story or not, here certainly the tables seem to be turned, and it's Martha's get up and go that puts her in the center of this glorious passage. While Mary, again, sits at home, Martha goes to meet Jesus. And in her conversation with him, she makes one of the relatively few explicit declarations of faith in the gospel. Not only does she say that she knows God will do whatever Jesus asks, and that she knows her brother Lazarus will rise again, she says, "I believe that you are the Son of God." Isn't it intriguing that we never hear anything quite like this from what we might call the star turns in the Gospel, from Mary, the mother of Jesus, or from John, the beloved disciple, or from Mary of Bethany, who chose the better part? It's the fallible ones. It's the ones we see letting Jesus down. They're the ones who tell him in so many words that they believe that he really is the Christ. It's Simon Peter, who ran away at the trial and crucifixion of his master. It's Martha, who was too busy to sit down and just listen to him. Well, I don't know about you, but I find that immensely encouraging. It doesn't matter how feeble or timorous or distracted or just plain dim-witted we may be, we can get it right by saying out loud and with no double talk that we believe. Not just that we go to church or we read the Bible or we say our prayers, but why? Because we believe. We can say it with our actions, with our lifestyle. We can say it with the choices we make day by day. Pope Francis is giving us an excellent demonstration of all that. But the Pope also says openly, over and over and over again, that he believes in the risen Lord. So let's go with Martha to meet him and tell him. Let's tell him all together now. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God.